Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins. Afternoons on the Score.
You know this show loves malaprops. We have to address yours from yesterday.
Where is that at again, Hub? With all this stuff going on, I can't keep all my onions in a row here.
What is happening there?
I don't know what happened there, folks. I don't know exactly what that was, but we'll find out.
Ah, God.
I've heard ducks in a row.
Well,
how
yes.
Do you get the onion?
I always watch one more tape after it's happened to make sure that I had all the ducks aligned. And
what I was trying to say was I should know my onions on this.
Onions!
And instead of knowing my onions, I collected them and I put them in a row for Hub's enjoyment. I can't keep all my onions in a row here. And I knew I was gone. You know, because I'm done.
In a row.
In a row?
Rick Dalton stammering. Eight whiskey sours. Got to have eight.
You're sitting there like a baboon.
I put my onions in a row instead of knowing them. All I wanted to do is express, I feel like it's my responsibility to know my onions. Instead of, you know, expressing that, I put them in a row.
You gotta know your onion.
I can't keep all my onions in a row here. Stutter and stammer and
bitches in a row. Spit it out, you sputtering bitch.
Onions, 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 onions,
onions. Onions in a row here.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
The show that always knows its onions no matter what row they're in. It's Mac and Parkins on The Score. Scorantine day. I've lost count.
49, Danny. It's 49 for us today.
49. That means Yes. Tomorrow is 50, and then blissfully the weekend will have arrived. What's up, Mac?
Everything is good in my world. My onions are all lined up. They're all ready to go. I feel very, very good today, emotionally, mentally. Physically is another story, but another day where it's very, very hot, and got outside a little bit, ran around all over the place, and feeling good. Already looking forward to the weekend a little bit here. I got to get my ass in gear around this thing I call a house because it's a disaster area. I've been spending the last 4 weeks when I have idle time at the pond down the street catching bass and bluegill, or in yesterday's case, attempting to play golf. So it's time to get serious and make tall grass short, move stuff around, trim some trees, prune some bushes. I refuse to pull weeds, though. I sent that memo last year. I'm out of the weed pulling business in my late 50s.
Congrats on your retirement.
Thank you.
I missed the facts, but that's big. I know you enjoy making tall grass short, and you got to do it before your big vacation or one of them. So you got to get the house in order. But I'm feeling okay from the golf. So the physical is fine. Mental's another story for another day. But got my new irons yesterday, so I got a brand new set of clubs. Finally, I got the woods a couple weeks before I got the irons because the manufacturing shop shut down in the midst of the pandemic. So this weekend will be my first round with some new sticks. Very much looking forward to running out of excuses for why I suck on the golf course. My 20-year-old irons no longer will be the excuse. This weekend it'll be, I'm still working in my new clubs, So 3 or 4 rounds from now, I will be fresh out of excuses.
The excitement that comes with a new set of golf clubs is incredible. For me, it always has been. I just love peeling that cellophane off of the club heads and, you know, ripping the plastic down by the seam down the middle to get your grips ready to go. What did you get, Parkins, so you can make a run at mortality the next time you get out there?
I went with the Wilsons, actually. Did some research here. The Wilson Forged Irons. They people say, oh, you know, it's TaylorMade, Titleist, you know, Callaway. But the thing is that Wilson does all of the same quality on all of their specs, but because they do so much other stuff in sporting goods, they don't spend as much time marketing and advertising just their golf brand because they have to spread it around to the other things. But Wilson golf clubs, among the most popular in Europe. Gary Woodland won the U.S. Open with them last year, so they're growing a little bit in prominence on the PGA Tour, big over in Europe, but often made in the exact same factories as your more name brands. So went with the Wilson set. And my dude Gabe Rios, who gives me some lessons, he's a Wilson pro, so he tipped me off to them, and I tried out a couple different kinds, and I hit them decently. So got some custom irons, and you know, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to make a run at 90.
His name's Gabe Rios, and he sold some Parkins clubs. Very cool. Don't ever apologize for buying something that isn't as mainstream as everyone else, man. If you're comfortable with them, and you've tried them, and you like them, hell with the rest of the world. That's why there's vanilla and that's why there's chocolate. There's no right, no wrong answers. What is it? 4 through wedge with your irons? Is that what you got?
Yeah, 4 through wedge with an extra wedge in the set. They call it a gap wedge. And then got the driver and went all the way up to a 7-wood because I think I'm not a good long iron player. So very rarely we'll pull a 4-iron out of the bag. Don't even employ a 3-iron or a driving iron or anything like that. So got the extra wood with this decent fairway metal player.
Grip it and if you've got the extra wood, chew it and do it.
Amen.
Why not? Yeah, that's you know, most people apparently don't hit irons well, low irons well, because they stopped putting the 3-iron in a set a long time ago. At least 10 years ago, they started putting, you know, people were falling in love with the hybrid club, and I have a hybrid. It's beautiful. I hit my long irons actually okay usually, so not too concerned about that. But if you can learn how to hit them, it's a valuable weapon, especially on a windy day. You hood that 3-iron off the tee and keep it nice and low, you got a much better chance of getting a little bit more distance than you do with a 3-wood or a 5-wood, because you're still going to get more trajectory out of that club than you would a 3-iron. But, boy, it's exciting to be talk about golf. Hey, I
it
got
is.
A proposal for you.
Yep.
A week from tomorrow, can you get coverage for the O-Train and come down here and play golf with me, and then we do the show on the deck afterward? We could jump in the pool. We'll get some Doc's barbecue from around the corner. Shep and Tanny, always welcome to come if we have coverage back at the shop as well. I know Chris doesn't play golf. Shep doesn't either, but he has a set of clubs, and he rides around and watches guys putting roofs on houses. And
yeah, Shep plays golf. He just doesn't – he's not a golfer. So it's a weird combination. But, I might be able to pull that off. Yeah,
I hope you can. Yeah, I hope you can. I'd like to do that before I go off and head west for a little bit. That would be fun. Real easy to do. I've looked at the gear here. We can run 50 feet a cord. I'm on the second floor, right above the deck, which is right behind.
Get off the deck!
I want to be on the deck. I haven't done a show shirtless in 10 years, almost 9 years, since Spiegs and I sat poolside for my 50th birthday party show.
Well, nothing's stopping you from taking off your shirt right now, buddy. We got no video, and so you know you. I don't wear pants during these shows. Pants. I mean, come on now. That's not something that we need to be doing. So yeah, shirtless radio in a pandemic. It's pantsless radio, man. It's 2020. Let's go.
I had nothing but a towel around me yesterday for the first segment. I jumped in the pool after golf because I jumped in my compression shorts, took them off, put a beach towel around me, and did the first segment wearing only a towel.
That's lovely.
Yeah, see if you can do it. If you can, that would be great. If not, rain check me, and we'll do it sometime down the road. But they're renting carts. You get your own cart. We'll whip through one of the local tracks here, be back here by noon or so, and get some fantastic smoked meat from Doc's, and have ourselves a day going into next weekend.
Sounds good. I will run that up the flagpole, run it by the boss, so to speak, and I will not Mitch, but yeah, that sounds like a great idea. I'm looking forward to just, you know, golf season. They're opening up in Chicago. We can play in foursomes with carts. Mayor Lightfoot says phase three of the reopening next weekend, just a few days behind the state. It seems odd to me that, like, Chicago wasn't ready to join it with the rest of the state, but then just a few days later. It all seems very arbitrary, but hopefully in a good way. And so Chicago progressing towards some normalcy here before long. All of that information on what exactly phase three entails available with a quick Google search. There's all, you know, retail businesses, restaurants with patios, no lakefront, things west of Lakeshore Drive, limits on the amount of capacity of crowds, and still recommendation for face masks and all of that. But as summer approaches, it looks like we're getting towards a little bit more normalcy here in this great city, which is awesome. And yes, that does impact the golfing as well. The biggest story in sports, Mac, is that there might not be any normalcy in baseball. I find myself confused.
Trying to get a little bit back to some normalcy if we can.
Yeah, normalcy.
Normalcy.
That's the official term on our show, courtesy of John Lester and my brother.
Yeah, my bad. The normalcy of baseball's return. You know, I said at the beginning of this, this will get ugly, but deadlines make deals, and I assume that no one on the player's side or the owner's side is dumb enough to let money get in the way of playing baseball in the midst of a pandemic. And this has been ugly, and they're not yet at their deadline for starting up baseball, so nothing should have changed my initial stance based on what's transpired. But I gotta be honest, it's uglier than I thought it was going to be.
You know, maybe because we didn't give a whole lot of thought to it before what the economic punch was going to be in the gut for owners without concessions, without parking, without all of the ancillary revenue they get from bodies in the house. We, you know, I did not spend a lot of time thinking about that, but yes, it's been very ugly as these labor negotiations are during normal times. Why wouldn't they be during abnormal times? Because players are being asked to bend. They feel safety is a huge concern. So why would I bend? You know, you could make a strong argument in a blue-collar world. The argument would be, look, these are OSHA violations in every direction. You are putting my health at risk. How about a little something extra? How about a little combat pay? You know, that's how it goes for some who've been working during this pandemic in public areas. Cashiers have been earning a few more bucks an hour. Hardly worth getting sick over, given the serious nature of the virus. But, yeah, I'm not surprised, it's gone this direction. And I don't think it's going to be resolved anytime quickly. I'm trying so very hard, Parksy, to get out of the predictions business, but it's hard not to when everything is a guess. So how can we not wind up finding ourselves speculating based on gut feeling as to when anything happens? But there's nothing going to happen this week, and I'm not optimistic next week will be much better.
Yeah, Parksy was what Eddie O said my hockey name would be. So Parksy is fine. So Max Scherzer's statement, and he's on the subcommittee with these eight players who are trying to, you know, have there be uniformity among the players, because it's easier for the owners to have one voice on this. They've got a commissioner. There's 30 owners. They're all billionaires. It's easy for them to be aligned. There's hundreds and hundreds of baseball players, some young, some veterans, some American, some international, some at the beginning of their career who haven't made any money, some at the end of their career that have made hundreds of millions of dollars. So it's much easier for there to be splintering on the player side than there is the owner side. But this was what Max Scherzer said. After discussing the latest developments with the rest of the players, there's no reason to engage with Major League Baseball in any further compensation reductions. We have previously negotiated a pay cut in the version of prorated salaries, and there's no justification to accept a second pay cut based upon the current information the union has received. I'm glad to hear other players voicing the same viewpoint and believe Major League Baseball's economic strategy would completely change if all documentation were to become public information.
And it is, though. That's one mistake in his statement.
Yeah, well, yes and no, right? So Jeff Passan is reporting that the players want to have the whatever the new deal would be for their television revenue if the postseason comes around, they would want that out. But I spoke to someone today who is very informed on labor negotiations across all sports, and he was saying, like, that argument doesn't hold much water because not the playoff TV revenue, but just like the overall, a baseball's books aren't open. He's like, that's what revenue sharing is derived from. So you can say that they're not open enough. It's not all publicly owned. The Braves are the publicly owned franchise that has the most documentation open. You can dispute what Tom Ricketts says about the 70%. Like, so you could quibble with it, but the idea that no books are open in baseball is just a fallacy because of what happens with revenue sharing. But I just am a little surprised at the tone here that both sides are taking. Like, if the owner's offer was so insulting to the players that it was universally dismissed and they're not even going to counter proposal off of it, and experts are saying, man, that's the type of offer that looks like they're just trying to get the union to turn on each other and it's not really a good faith negotiation, and then the players are saying, we're not coming back with an offer based on that, I wonder if there really is interest in making a deal here. Like, I don't know the answer to that, but I wonder if there is something on the owner's side where they're like, man, if we play baseball this year, because we already heard the number floated, $4 billion lost under the current agreement, if the owners are saying, we're going to lose money if we play baseball amidst this pandemic with no fans, and, oh yeah, by the way, if the second wave comes and we have to shut it down, that could take away the postseason, which is when they're going to really make their money from TV with this expanded postseason. So if they're saying we're already losing money, we're going to lose more if we have to shut it down again and miss out on the playoffs, and they're making these bad faith negotiations, I wonder if the owners really want a deal or if they want to just say, hey, we'll see you in 2021.
Oh, man. That
It's just uglier than I thought it was going to be.
That would have the, you know, there's nothing that can't come back after it takes a hit, but sometimes it takes a while to repair damages incurred along the way. And baseball during a pandemic being perceived by probably more than half of the people who are going to read this thing and weigh in, and in the court of public opinion, they're all going to be losers, owners and players. So if there is no season, as you're talking about, that's something the owners are going to have to think long and hard about, because, you know, those of them who were around 26 years ago when the strike happened and how long it took for baseball to rebuild a little bit of momentum after losing a World Series, you don't want to do that again. You don't want to see that movie one more time ever, if possible. So hopefully cooler heads prevail.
Yeah, I hope so too. And I'm not, like, this isn't a prediction. It's just like, you know, sports talk radio is, we kind of react to the news of the day. We do a show every day. And so, you know, some days you're going to find us optimistic, pessimistic, agreeing, disagreeing. Like, the news of the last 24 to 48 hours in baseball is just, it's pretty grim.
It's a crap storm. That's what it is. It's more than grim. It's a crap storm. Why would anybody have a positive vibe about this thing moving forward?
Yeah, and so when you look at it and it's like, okay, Mike Trout and Garrett Cole, the most expensive players in baseball, $36-38 million a year, after what they're talking about in this, you know, prorated, scaled tax plan of taxing the richest players the most, they're going to take home less than $5 million after taxes for this baseball season. no normal person out there listening right now who is dealing with unemployment and pay cuts and economic hardship is going to play a violin for of any size for guys playing a game for only $5 million. But if you're Garrett Cole and you signed a guaranteed contract for hundreds of millions of dollars, why the hell would you do that? Like, yeah. Why would you agree to it? I can't. I mean, it's ridiculous. He doesn't need the $4 million. Just wait. Right. Wait until you get paid your full salary.
Yeah, yeah. If you can hang in there, he's made enough probably where he can.
Definitely.
Some of them can't. The lower end guys are the ones who I have some sympathy for. I have little sympathy for the owners. You know what? Scratch little. I don't have any in
Me
this
either.
Situation. I try to so much to see it through someone else's eyes. Why should they be exempt from suffering? I where is it written where owners of baseball teams have the luxury of, oh my God, we're losing money. Look at all this money that's gone out the window, and woe is me. You know what? Stand in line to be losing money this year all over the world. Doesn't make you dissimilar to anybody else. So it might be a little bit more than the rest of the world. That doesn't make you, you know, I don't know. It's a sad deal because the return of sports means so much to so many people. And foremost, it seems, sooner the better. And I don't know how there's any optimism that this thing gets done anytime soon. I would say two weeks at least.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know, right? Like I don't know how long it will take to build a bridge between where the players are and the owners are. I have no idea, but another thing that is in this is it tells them how much each guy is going to make based on where they are. And if you're the players union, you're saying, wait a minute, not only are you telling us how much of the money we get, but you're telling us like how to divvy it up amongst our rank and file. We have guaranteed contracts. We don't have revenue sharing. Like, we don't have a salary cap or a salary floor. That's never how it's happened in baseball before. And now you're telling us what pay cut Mike Trout gets and what pay cut Kyle Hendricks gets and what pay cut, you know, Victor Caratini gets. Like, that's ridiculous.
Oh my God.
So I just
can't change the rules in midstream. I mean, that's garbage.
Right. So they're very, very, very far apart. And I got to be honest, like it crossed my mind that is this not good faith negotiation? Is this the owner saying, "Hey, we'll throw out this deal because they'll never agree to it." And then the John Q public will blame the players for the millionaire ball players who don't want to play a kid's game for millions in the midst of a pandemic. But really their motive is, "Man, we don't want baseball at all." Because if we miss out on the playoffs and we have to pay these prorated salaries, we're going to lose money. The CBA is up in a year anyway, so let's just wait. Let's wait it out. Like, billionaires can go without their revenue for longer than the millionaire players can and wait till the players' union gets more desperate and accepts a bad deal. I wonder if the owners really want to play baseball this year.
I think the answer is yes, but on their terms, on their very selfish-minded terms. At some point today, can we get to John Q. Public? I do want to talk about John a little bit later on, since you brought him up a little while ago. Coming up at the top of the 3 o'clock hour, Danny Parkins, we're going to have a chance to visit with Steve Traxel, the former Cubs right-hander. We'll get his thoughts on the owners versus the players, and also now, what, are we 2 weeks and change away from the one-hour documentary on the 1998 home run derby in Major League Baseball, McGuire versus Sosa? And he, of course, was right in the thick of things with that as a teammate of Sammy's and as a guy who served up Mark McGuire's 62nd home run of the year that summer. So that'll be fun to talk with him about those topics. And he'll give us his opinion. I don't think he'll hold back, as several ex-players have been. I heard Harold Reynolds today on the radio station. He's not bashful about anything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to Steve Traxel at 3 o'clock as we continue to celebrate the 98 Cubs. Evan Drylick, who's been reporting on this MLB negotiations at 5 o'clock. And listen, if you want optimism, there was a current Cub who offered it today. We'll play it for you and see if it makes sense. Coming up.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Up on the score.
It's time for the Midday Show. Out of context.
Instead of saying kat o pla, or four waters flat, it was interpreted as kat uf plat, or four plates of eggs.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's the kind of thing you never live down.
That was the Midday Show, Out of Context, on 670 The Score.
I don't get it in context or out of context, Mac. I have no idea what we just heard.
Oh, boy. Dan Bernstein. Man, we all have our crosses to bear. He is missing the waft of a bakery in Paris these days. I was alerted to by Nick Shepkowski, our executive producer, a tweet. No, who was it? Was it Tanny?
It was, yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And Shep was first to bounce back in. And, I'm wondering if he'll ever get to when and I'll ever get that chance again to walk the streets of Paris and enjoy the smell of all those wonderful bakeries we all are doing without, aren't we?
Oh, poor you.
Yes, this is the real victim of these trying, unprecedented times, is that we can't vacation abroad and have a nice baguette or croissant. I'm with him. I don't know when the next time I'll travel internationally is. You know, I love it as well. I know you do not have much interest in traveling internationally, but it is a great time. And so Steph and I were talking about maybe we're going back to Italy by our 10-year wedding anniversary. Maybe it'll be good to go back by then. Who knows? But not exactly the most relatable of complaints from a Dan Bernstein.
Probably not. And he wants to, you know, and Dan is, you and I both are happy to admit he is smarter than we are. I told him that a long time ago and nothing has changed. And he's way better read than I am. He's more worldly than I am. But if he's going to share his expertise on how to speak French on the air, I hope he can get it right a little bit. The word four, F-O-U-R in English, meaning one more than three, one less than five, he called it cut, and it's quatre, actually, and it often, the R-E at the end is often lost, the gargle is, and when you speak slang, just as we do here, some things aren't as they are supposed to be formally, so sometimes people might say quatre, and you lose that quatre at the end, but he called it cut. And it's quatre. So anyway, because I did study French a little bit, and I do know how to count to 20 in French. I can probably go higher than that because it's pretty simple. It's just a repetitive format once you get past it. But I will leave that to Mike Francesa.
No. If you're going to call Bernstein out, I got to at least hear you count to 10 in French.
Oh, boy. You're going to put me on the spot.
Well, you just said you can count to higher than 20. 10 should be no problem.
Can I do it as Francesa?
Sure, of course you can.
That's one. UN.
One?
Spelled UN. Deux. Okay. That's two. Deux. Trois. T-R-O-I. Trois. Quatre. Cinq, six, sept, huit, neuf, dix. That's one.
Then 112, 129, 101, 126, 148, 116, 152, 117, 103.
11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19.
It's very impressive. I have no idea if it's right or wrong, but it's very impressive. Good for you.
I paid attention because Melva Zabardi was in my class, and that's why I majored in French.
Right. I majored in French.
Yes. I did major in French in high school. Yes. She was my Becca. She was to me what Becca was to Seth in one of the greatest comedies ever made in 07.
We're just shoehorning in as much Superbad as we possibly can here. I like it. I didn't know that you majored in anything in high school. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, 3 years of I think most schools, public or private, require an English major. 3 years of English, right? So I took that all 4 years because I was strong at it, and I was okay at French, and I liked the people who took French. That was the nerdy side of me. I had friends who were jocks, friends who were freaks, and friends who were nerds. I sprayed to all fields, if you will. So I enjoyed Melba Zabardi and everybody who took French classes, Randy McCartney. We had a blast. Mike Stiglitz, a lot of good people.
Yeah, I took Spanish all through grade school and high school and a little bit in college. But I thought the only thing that you called like a major was when you would, you know, whatever you were getting your degree in college. So I just had never referred to it that way. But okay, your turn, Dan Bernstein. You have just been challenged to an intellectual duel on your French by Dan McNeil. I'm looking forward to his response.
You're wrong.
I eagerly await his response.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, it's fine. It's brought to you by Grand Appliance and TV. Grand Appliance is committed to serving Chicagoland during these unprecedented times with industry-leading delivery and in-store safety measures, Memorial Day sale pricing, and an extra 5% back on most appliance purchases. Shop GrandAppliance.com for offer details. Grand Appliance, trusted since 1930.
It is foolish to live with regret, especially over things that really have no meaning. But if I could do it all over again in the spring break of my junior year, 1978, my parents offered to send me to pay for my trip to Paris with the French club. I was not a member of the French club, but because I was in my third year of it, I was eligible for the trip. My dad didn't make a lot of money. He was making soap. That's what he did at Lever and now Unilever. And I said I didn't have it in me to hit him up for $800 to play hockey in the winters because he didn't make much money. So we never did without, but he didn't have that kind of stuff. So I didn't ask him for hockey. I wasn't going to ask him for that. Plus, I had the option of working at a factory loading trucks for cash at the end of the day, $20 an hour when you're 16 years old. Are you
kidding?
It's a lot
of dough.
Yeah, it is. $20 an hour. I go out to the factory and load some semis with, you know, and get a good workout in and cash at the end of the day. And we'd go buy some ganj and spend the next day at Whiting Beach or go to the drive-in theater, which your generation missed, unfortunately. Drive-in theaters were the goods. And
they're coming back.
There are only a few. Well, yeah, they are coming back, I've heard. And they ought to come back because it's a great idea.
Just, well, there's some talk. I mean, so like the business is it's obviously social distancing safe, and then there's been some chatter about expanding it and saying, you know, that would be a pretty good way to broadcast live sports. Like, could you do something where, okay, you know, you can't, you know, Wrigley doesn't have parking lots, but okay, so you can't go to Guaranteed Rate Field here for a Sox game if there's not going to be any fans, but could you open up the parking lots, have some security out there to mandate that people stay in their cars, and then wheel in some big TV screens, and you could play, you know, get a live feed into the parking lot, and then fans could cheer and honk horns and stuff like that from their car, and then that would be a buzz that could be felt inside the stadium by the players.
That's not a bad idea. Gallagher Way has a nice place for people to gather and watch a decent quality high-resolution monitor, probably close to the same width as a drive-in theater screen, probably not as substantial horizontally. I'm sorry, vertically, but yeah, that would be a good idea because you can watch the movie or you could not watch the movie. Same thing with the ball game. Great thing. But the cost of real estate has become so high and so precious. That's the biggest reason that industry had failed, because especially when big box stores started opening up and, you know, the era of Builders Square. That's what happened to my drive-in theater where I worked when I was a senior in high school. Loved that job. What a great, great job working at a theater. Oh, was that fun, an outdoor theater. But, you know, they got a big offer from Builder Square and a few other big companies that wanted to put retail there. And with parking lots needed for that and a lot of space for those kind of stores, the theater was an easy decision for the owners. Like, yeah, we'll take the big paycheck and stop charging $3 a carload.
Yeah, I mean, it's a totally foreign concept to people of my generation that you would want to go there just to sit in your car. Normally, you get in your car to get out of your car, if you even have a car. People in my generation, but it's cool. It's definitely something that we missed out on, and that's a business that I don't know how much it's going to ever come back after this. The movie theater experience. Now that so much of this stuff, like forget the drive-in, just even the movie theater. Like so many of these films are just being released, you know, direct to consumer right now on demand. You know, you would think that your Marvel movies, your Avatars, your Mission Impossibles, like Top Gun is a big one that they delayed with like all these crazy special effects. Like that'll still have a place in the IMAXs and the theater experience. But, you know, why would you release a drama that's dialogue driven or a comedy that's dialogue driven? Why spend the money to release it in theaters when you can just release it right to the consumer?
Yeah, and most consumers, I think, favor watching it at home. A high percentage of them, I suspect. Now, the French culture-loving Dan Bernstein is not among them. He and I both like the communal experience going to a movie theater. It should be an event, and you're all consuming it for the very first time. So it is often shared more than you want it to be because conversations happen nearby.
Right.
But still, there's something about the previews and the concessions. There's just more excitement to me being in a building with others, all of us seeing something for the very first time. And you can't capture that at home. And I also love, and I got a good sound system at home, but a theater sound system that is solid. Oh man, those, especially if you're watching something in IMAX, those are good ones. I like it. I want everything to tremble inside of me. I want to feel my organs twisting because it's so loud, but loud where it sounds good. That kind of loud.
Yeah, I'll go back out for Top Gun for the re-release of that. But the, you know, the last movie I saw in theaters was I saw Uncut Gems. That's a movie that I don't know that the theater experience is necessary for, right? Like I just that type of movie, I'm not sure that you necessarily need to be shelling out the money and the time to go to a theater. We'll get to these Ian Happ comments before Steve Traxel at 3 o'clock on The Score.
You ever consider Happy by the Rolling Stones for walk-up music at any level? That just, I'm a big Stones fan. That's so perfect, wouldn't it be? And it's Keith Richards singing.
I've gotten a lot of suggestions revolving around the word happy, so I haven't put any of them into practice yet.
We almost got there with Ian Happ. Maybe this year, if there is a year. But Ian Happ has been joining the aforementioned Dan Bernstein once a week at 11 o'clock as he's talked about his new podcast, and he's been kind of given a play-by-play as the owners and players union keep exchanging negotiations, as we'll have Steve Traxel coming up at 3 o'clock. And he says the fact that they are exchanging the negotiations and the proposals is exactly what matters here.
As much as
we don't want this to play out in the media. And I think, like I said last week, the best thing for us to do is to send proposals back and forth and announce it when it's done. But it's positive. Any traction on the two sides sending proposals back and forth is positive. And I think that's what the fans should take from this, is that there's conversations happening, and we're getting closer to a deal. No matter how far off we are on these proposals from either side, sending them back and forth is getting us closer to a deal. So I think there's nothing but positives coming out of the two sides talking.
How much conversation is going on that's getting to the rank and file at this point, or is it still trust in the reps and in the executive reps? What's the depth of penetration of the communication? Because what we were hearing early on is, because of the timing of this, more players are more aware and engaged and informed than have been in previous types of collective bargaining, just because of what's been going on in off seasons relative to what's happening now.
Yeah, everybody's been really involved. I know that our team's been talking to each other quite a bit, and that's all you can ask for. I think the PA, we do a great job at making sure that you get the opinion of every single person that the PA represents. And that's how we work as a union. As a rep, you go back and you talk to your teams, and you make sure that you're representing the best of what we have to offer, and then take it back to the top, and that's how the decisions are made. So I think the communication has been fantastic, and that's something that we'll continue to strive for, is just making sure that every single person is heard and that we work collectively as a group.
You agree with them that just the fact that they're exchanging anything should be a sign of good news?
No, I was squinting during the answer to the first question, his first commentary there. I'm like, what is he talking about? What back and forth? What give and take? The players pretty much have said, you haven't given us anything worth responding to. So yeah. There's been an absence of give and take. Hasn't there? I sound like Terry. Am I missing something here? Help me out.
No, I don't think so. I mean, there was, it's true, technically, there have been exchanges, right? The owners sent something to the players, and then now the players are going to send something back to the owners, reportedly, by the end of the week. So, you know, there will be counter proposals, but Max Scherzer says that they are ignoring the financial recommendations of the owners from their most recent proposal. So that doesn't, like, if you're negotiating a contract for $100,000, you're trying to end at $100,000, and one side says $150,000 and the other side says $24, like, you're not really negotiating in good faith. You're really far off. So I don't know, like, if they can get this done. I think that what Ian Happ is doing there is basically just saying, like, he's towing a company line of saying, hey, we're negotiating, and until the negotiations fall apart, you know, we may as well try to stay optimistic.
Yeah, and he is speaking publicly. Not every team in baseball is choosing to do that, because if they, if they're pissed about something and they express it, that doesn't do anything for the betterment of conversations and negotiations when there's a lot of angst being expressed to the world. And so maybe that's part of it too. Maybe he is selling us on this being a positive, because it's not been described in many corners as positive talks thus far.
No, and you had a guy like Trevor Bauer, who never is shy with his opinions, you know, coming out and blasting Scott Boras for trying to meddle in with his clients with this memo that was leaked to the AP. But they're trying to present a united front. And that's like with guys like Max Scherzer on that player committee trying to speak for all of the players to not have there be the appearance of infighting. So like when we've had guys on, you know, Eric Kratz, Mike Montgomery, like guys like that who are not huge names, Ian Happ, right? Not a huge name. This is not a, he's not a player rep. He's not a superstar. He's not a high earner. They're the rank and file. They're the foot soldiers of the union. Like they don't want to do anything that's going to be speaking out of school and create some huge headline, right? Like Trevor Plouffe is not, he's not supposed to be the guy that makes the big headlines in all of this. It's supposed to come from Max Scherzer, Tony Clark, who runs the union. It's supposed to come from the Chris Bryant, who's a player rep for the Cubs. It's not supposed to come from Ian Happ.
Yes, and by the way, the grade for Tony Clark so far during all of this, I give him a 7. That's his grade, his letter grade, a 7. Since he wants to give a B-plus for a numerical value, that's what we'll do. We'll do the juxtaposition of it on his grade.
I
laughed into the late hours last night thinking about that. That was a good one.
Yeah, the write-up was at Pro Football Talk. But, yeah, if anyone watched the Real Sports with Brian Gumbel, he had Michelle Roberts from the NBA, Tony Clark from baseball, and Demoris Smith from the NFL, asked them on a scale of 1 to 10 to rank their confidence that their sport would have a season this year. Demoris Smith, I think, said 6 or 7. Michelle Roberts said she was at an 8 and then was at a 6. And Tony Clark said B+.
That's awesome.
So great. It's perfect. We're hoping for that type of gold from the member of the 98 Cubs. He'll talk home run race. He'll talk his perspective on the current state of baseball. Steve Traxel going to join us next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.